Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
We are here for one more hour in Arlington, getting ready for a huge weekend of college football. We've had many, many great guests, and we have another one, the former Heisman Trophy winner, Robert Griffin III. He's part of the broadcast team tomorrow morning in Auburn at Jordan-Hare Stadium for Missouri. And Auburn, Robert, thanks for the time. Want to get your thoughts on this game and a couple of others. We appreciate you being on. Let's start off with the utterly bizarre situation at quarterback for the Auburn Tigers. The number one guy, the number three guy, apparently out. They have Robbie Ashford. What do you know, and what are you learning as you dig deep into this game?
Well, Paul, we had a great meeting today with, you know, the coaching staff, and it does appear that TJ Finley won't be able to play due to injury, and we don't know what's going on with Zach Calzada, but Robbie Ashford is a guy that, you know, a lot of people around here know really, really well, and he's a great dual-threat quarterback. I know he's excited. They're excited to see him go out there and play a complete game because he hasn't really had an opportunity to truly take the reins, but now this is his opportunity to go out there and do it. They're looking forward to seeing him go out and work.
And Robert, you know, he comes in here from Oregon. Everyone expects Calzada to get the job. Then Finley comes in. I don't think you had to worry about that too many times in your career coming from the number three position, but what goes through a young man's mind when suddenly he's the starter on national television in a critical game for the Tigers?
Yeah, it is a critical game for them and for Robbie. You know, we didn't have an opportunity to talk to him quite yet, but you can only imagine. This is the first SEC game. It's homecoming. You know, this opportunity probably means the world to him. And he's just got to make sure he focuses on the small things and the little things will fall into place. But at the end of the day, you know for a fact that as soon as that ball snaps, he's going to rely on his naturally God-given ability, and he's got a lot of it. So I know that's an exciting thing for the fans. And like I said, the coaches are excited to see him go out there. But what he should be doing a lot of is handing the ball off to Tank Bigsby. Guy's one of the best running backs in the country, and they're really going to have to lean on that guy to make them come out successful against Mizzou.
And, Robert, I know circumstances in games dictate what you do, and it's easy for a layman like me to say, hey, how come Bigsby didn't get more runs last week against Penn State? Can you explain how things change? Because he is their most potent player, but we didn't see a lot of him in that disastrous loss to the Nittany Lions.
Yeah, Paul, you know, going into halftime, they were down only 14-6, and they should have come out and stayed dedicated to the running game. They didn't. The game kind of got away from them, and at that point, it's really hard to stick with the run when you're down by 20, 27 points. But that's on the coaching staff. You know, having talked to them, they understand that portion of it, and they got to get their superstar running back involved early and often. And I think they wish they could do that, go back and do that against Penn State. But hindsight's 20/20. All I know is that when you're in doubt, hand the ball off to Tank Bigsby.
Well said. Robert, let me ask you about one or two other quarterback situations, and everyone will be watching tomorrow afternoon after your game is over. You have Florida, pretty big underdog against Tennessee, and all eyes on Anthony Richardson. Tebow was with us earlier. We all know he's the most talented guy in the field, but he has to do more. And can you explain what he's going through and what he needs to do to win that game at Neyland Stadium?
Well, I mean, you talk about Anthony Richardson, but don't forget about Hendon Hooker there in Tennessee. He's balling out, playing at a really high level. I think everyone's excited about Anthony Richardson because of not just his running ability, but the potential that they see from him. Whenever you have a guy that as big as he is, you know, as thickly built, you know, kind of like Kyle Lowry a little bit. He's an exciting guy to watch. And you watch what he did early in the season, and you want to make sure that he's continuing to develop. So I think when you talk to guys like Tim Tebow, they see themselves in Anthony Richardson. And they know that at times there was maybe some shortcomings that they never overcame in their career, and they don't want that same thing for him. So when you talk about what he needs to do, he's got to beat teams not just with his legs but also with his mind. And I think he can do it. I think he's showcased that at times. He just has to be more consistent with it. And that's what makes him so exciting, because you know he's not even scratching the surface of his ability.
And let me ask you about Hendon Hooker. What impresses you the most about him?
He just makes the difficult things look easy, right? His stats might not scream to you that, hey, this guy should be a Heisman candidate right now. But what he's done bringing Tennessee football back, I think a lot of people have been waiting on that for a long time in Vol Nation. And this is a game where he can thrust himself right into the middle of that conversation. You know, just like Penix Jr. did last week with Washington, Michael Penix Jr., big Penix energy. You know, he's got an NIL deal now because of that. That's pretty awesome for him and his family. But he put himself right in the middle of the Heisman conversation when he knocked off number 11 Michigan State. So I think, you know, Hendon Hooker has the same opportunity doing that against a big-time team like Florida.
And speaking of the Heisman, Robert, Stetson Bennett has found himself in the competition. I know you've done some of his games. What is he doing this year that maybe some of the critics didn't see last year and feel a little bit flat-footed by his unbelievable success?
Yeah, well, I think flat-footed is probably the best description. After watching him last year, the one thing that I thought was missing was just the confidence that he would exude out on the field. You know, sometimes I felt like he thought of himself as a game manager last year. But this year, he's doing everything. You're seeing the creativity in the running game. You're seeing him make big-time throws in the passing game and actually being a reason that Georgia is winning football games aside from their unbelievable defense. So I think that's what caught a lot of people off guard. But, hey, a national championship will do that to you. The mailman just keeps delivering, and I'm excited for him.
Well, we're excited to have you on whenever we can find you, and we always appreciate it. Robert, enjoy the game tomorrow. We'll be watching. Robert Griffith III joining us from Auburn on the call for Missouri and Auburn. That's an early game, 12 Eastern from the Plains, homecoming, and a critical game for both schools. We will talk more about Bennett and the Dogs and the rest of the SEC lineup with Matt Stinchcomb. Then we'll get Doering's picks for the weekend and your phone calls to wrap up the program. We're live in Arlington, Texas, as we continue here on a Friday afternoon.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. As we head across the country, to Athens, Georgia. Our next guest knows his way there. Probably, come on, do you have to use a GPS to get to Sanford Stadium? We're talking to Matt Stinchcomb, who's played in that stadium. He's not there now, but we'll be hearing his voice talking about that game tomorrow. Matt, I was asking Robert Griffith about Stetson Bennett. What's so different about him this year?
Well, I think part of it is that he knows he's the guy. I mean, that has been the biggest rub for him, is that he believed in himself, but he was kind of Han Solo in that regard. He was like the only guy that seemed to believe that he was the guy. Now everybody's kind of come around to thinking, no, I mean, maybe he's the guy for us. And they've been able to build the offense to not only complement, but around his skill set, which affords them to do a variety of different things because of his mobility. That showed up, you know, a couple of times last week versus South Carolina, where, you know, he's running naked bootlegs, which you wouldn't often do that with just any quarterback. And, you know, they would even have an edge pressure defender. He's still able to make a play off of it because of his mobility. You know, I think part of it's confidence. I think part of it's just stability. And the other is experience. The guy's played a lot of ball at this point, and now he knows going in, week out, that it's his job. And in a lot of ways, his offense to run.
Matt, we were talking to Robert, too, about the Auburn situation. And, yeah, it got away from them in the second half. And the questions about Bigsby were obvious when you're down by three touchdowns. But they weren't down by three touchdowns at halftime. They were still in the game. Do you have any? Can you explain your view of the Auburn offensive philosophy?
Not really. You know, they struggled mightily up front. That's obvious, and you know, typically that's what I'm looking at. I know Roman Harper and I both were. Roman was pointing out some plays that stood out to him, even as a former safety. He's sitting there going, "Man, this is troubling. It's not easy to operate an offense when you're struggling as mightily as Auburn did, not just offensively in general, but also with the guys up front, not just assignment, but just simple execution." Right now, I think it's really difficult for them to even establish an identity. And now with the, we'll call tenuous hold on a quarterback, T.J. Finley, not available, took a beating the other day in the game versus Penn State. You know, right now, it's really hard to figure out who you want to be offensively. One, if you can't hold up front. But two, if you've got, you know, a revolving door somewhat at the quarterback position, you got to have stability there. And they've had multiple faces in there at times to obviously inject the offense with different skill sets. But it's hard to establish who you are and what you're good at when you're struggling not only up front, but when you've got quarterback instability.
Talking to Matt Stinchcomb about the weekend. Matt, let me get to Knoxville because the narrative's already in written in stone about where this series has been, but what are you looking for in terms of the keys to victory, especially for Florida with Anthony Richardson?
Yeah, I think pressure is a big thing in this game. I think pressure's played a big role in Florida's performance, and specifically Anthony Richardson's performance. I thought it was really telling to hear Dan Mullen kind of validate that perception that going into the game versus Utah, nobody thinks Florida's going to win. You know, Utah's the favorite, top 10 team, all the things. So it's kind of less pressure in that regard because the expectations might be lower, at least towards victory. And so you can play maybe looser. And since then, obviously, some would consider a breakout performance. The conference named Anthony Richardson Offensive Player of the Week that week. Then struggles since then. And Tennessee, as we know, can score points, has scored points. That puts a lot of pressure on the opposing team, not just offensively, but in general. And Neyland Stadium is one of the most intimidating places to play. And you have to believe that this might be the most electric crowd that they've had in a long, long time, certainly the most engaged one. How does Florida respond to that pressure? They got to keep that scoreboard under control. They need to string together drives. It's not just about the passing offense. They need to find a way to possess the football, get it into the red zone, if for nothing else, for field position purposes and an opportunity to get points on the board, because otherwise, if you let it get away from you early, I don't know how this Florida team early in Billy Napier's tenure is going to respond to that level of pressure.
Matt, let me get a final thought from you on the game here in Arlington between A&M and Arkansas. What stands out as you study the tape of this game?
Yeah, you know, has A&M figured it out offensively, right? I mean, Max Johnson didn't set the world on fire, but offensively they operated more proficiently, got the ball in the hands of some playmakers more, something that Jimbo Fisher said they have to do a better job of going forward. Makes sense. You know, get the ball in A-Chain's hands, that makes a ton of sense. Get it in his hands. But also, on the flip side, Arkansas and kind of this surprising rushing attack and, you know, the way that they've been able to move the ball on the ground, that's big. You know, people talk about it all the time. You throw to score, but you run to win. And versus Texas A&M, an offense that's still kind of on this adventure of discovery, if you will, you know, I think Arkansas has a pretty fully realized idea of who they are. And on the flip side, you know, there are some deficiencies, some gaps, some holes, and it's largely due to personnel availability for the Arkansas defense. You know, have they been able to address those, especially in the back end? That'll be an interesting question, Martin. Can Texas A&M exploit that element of their defense in the game tomorrow night?
Matt Sinchcomb on the call tomorrow in Athens, Georgia. Always appreciate his time. We'll see him next week. Let's get back to the calls here at 855-242-7285. Cat Daddy is up next.
Big Paul, you're looking good and sounding good as always.
Thank you.
I just want to tell you, sir, that I've got some great predictions for the weekend. Would you like them, sir?
Well, I'll listen to them. I'll let you know if I like them afterwards.
All right, well, South Carolina will beat Charlotte. That's a no-brainer. Clemson will lose to Wake Forest. Arkansas will beat Texas A&M. And if Auburn loses, oh, there's going to be a sad day down on the plain.
Yeah, it's not how you want to spend homecoming in your coach's second year. TK is up next in Georgia. TK, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Yes, sir, Mr. Paul.
Yes, sir. Go right ahead. You're on the air. Thank you.
First time caller, Mr. Paul. How are you doing today?
We are doing great. Well, I'm glad you made it into the show.
I got two questions for you, sir.
Okay.
I got, it's towards Legend and you. Legend said back in the day, you know, Georgia was a copycat of Alabama, right?
That's what he said.
Would you copycat losers?
Well, normally you try to replicate winners, not losers.
Yes, sir. And my second question is, he needs to quit talking about Georgia ain't played nobody because Alabama ain't played nobody. You agree to that?
Well, not really. I mean, Georgia has played Oregon essentially at home. Alabama went to Austin to play Texas. I would say Alabama's schedule would be a little more difficult at this point.
Okay. Can I ask you this question? What's the standard in the conference? Georgia's played a conference game, right? South Carolina?
Yeah. And Alabama will play its first conference game tomorrow.
Okay, that's all I'm saying, Mr. Paul. Thank you for my call. Tell Legend to get off them dogs.
Wow, that was a compelling.
Thank you, sir.
You made quite an argument there. Ryan is in Ocala, which is right outside of Gainesville. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, what's up? What's up, Godfather?
Hey, how are you doing?
Man, you already know how I'm doing, brother. Hey, but I'm not as pumped as I normally am. I'm normally, like, talking trash, like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But, Paul, man, it's, like, different type of days in Gainesville, man.
Why aren't you talking more trash, Ryan?
Well, I don't know, man. Right now I'm facing a coach that I'm not sure. I'm not sure if this guy's the guy. I'm not sure if the quarterback's the guy. I mean, if he comes out there and looks like he did in Utah and he runs the ball like a coach, you know, you obviously got to know the dynamics of your team. So you can take a look and see, obviously, you shouldn't throw 12 out of 15 passes, you know, against Kentucky, especially when you should have won that game at home. So, you know, right now, I mean, I know everybody likes to try to say, oh, give him time, give him time. But listen, man, we've had championship coaching. We've had championship coaches. We had championship quarterbacks. And it's not looking too good. But I will say this. If he does what he does at Utah, we may catch one 31-24. If not, we're looking 38-17. You guys.
Hey, thanks for the call. Tony is up next. Hey, Tony.
Hello.
Hey, good afternoon.
Hi, Paul. Listen, I just need to know, love you, not coming for you, but I just need to know why, as a University of Tennessee alumni, go Vols, you would pick Florida. You broke my heart. You broke it.
Tony, I'm going to put it back together again right now, okay? I was kidding with Laura when I said that, so.
Okay.
Yeah, don't ever take me seriously on a Friday afternoon. I will put my Tennessee.
Okay.
I will put my Tennessee degree on the line on this game. You will not see me picking Florida tomorrow.
That is my man. I caught the tail end of your Laura interview, so forgive me. But my faith in humanity is restored. So thank you so much.
Thank you very much. I'm glad we could clear that up. I did not want you to leave me. We're heading to a break. We have one more guest, Chris Doran. We got a few picks from him, and then. Final 20 minutes or so, we'll take your phone calls if you want to give us a ring. 855-242-7285.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
So we're not done with getting you ready for the weekend. SEC Now will follow us, and someone you'll see on that program is our next guest, Chris Doran, joining us from the network studio. Chris, always great to have you. Let's start in Knoxville. So much has been said about this game. Not much positive for the Gators. You know that program inside and out. What are Gator fans? Well, why should Gator fans be optimistic?
You know what's funny, Paul? Last year, this time, I was lamenting the fact that the Florida-Tennessee game was no longer a rivalry. I mean, it was one of my favorite games that I played in when I was at Florida. It was the biggest game of the season. It took place early in September, more times than not deciding who was going to go to the SEC championship game and ended up ultimately winning the SEC title. So the game had gone away largely because Florida had dominated Tennessee. We know the numbers, 16 of the last 17 have gone Florida's way. And here we are now. You're asking me why Florida should have optimism about it. Well, the one thing that we've seen from Tennessee people and friends that I have, they're all texting me cautiously optimistic. They believe that they're going to win the football game, but they're worried about that other shoe dropping, the inevitable failure to close, which we've seen in this series before. You know, the thing for me that I look at as a way to potentially give Florida a chance, they've got to possess the football. They've got to run the football. They've got to depend on that offensive line, which surprisingly to me was the strength of this team this year. I didn't think that would be the case, but the line and the running back trio, you look at Montrell Johnson and Etienne and Naquan Wright, those guys have been a nice complement to what AR has done on the ground running the football. But the problem is, where did the AR that ran the football against Utah go the last two ball games? I firmly believe that if Florida's going to win this game, they got to be willing to run AR. They got to give him the ball and allow him to use his legs. He's not going to beat you standing in the pocket throwing the football. So the game plan that I have to recommend to Florida, run the football, get in third and short situations, move the chains, and give yourself an opportunity to keep that Tennessee team on the sideline, their offense on the sideline, and give yourself an opportunity heading into the fourth quarter where maybe it gets a little nerve-wracking for the Tennessee folks that have been hearing all the time about how they can't close out this Florida game, even when they're the better team in the series.
So who wins?
Unfortunately, I got to go with Tennessee. I don't think this is going to be a close ball game. I just sold you on why it's going to be a close ball game, and I don't think it's going to be. I think Florida probably loses a three-score game just because I have not seen enough of them being balanced in the ability to throw the football. The game plan's out on how you beat the Gators. It's force AR to give the ball in some of the zone read situations. It's play zone coverage with eyes on the quarterback. Don't allow him to break contain when you're rushing the passer on passing downs. And if anybody's going to beat you, make it be somebody other than number 15, but don't let him do it with his legs.
Just for clarification, you know I'm a stickler for these things. Is a three-score game 21 points, or is that just a figure of
speech? Making me commit to that. I've been telling everybody all week long it's a three-touchdown game. I'm going to soften that a little bit, three possessions, so 17, Paul. I think I'm going more with a 17-point win for the Vols.
17-21, according to Chris Doering. Just to put some words in his mouth, it doesn't matter. We understand your point. Let's get to where we are here in Arlington. Everybody knows Texas A&M is a slight favorite, although most of the positivity seems to be on the Razorbacks. Give us the lay of the land here.
Yeah, kind of hard to believe, right? If you took the blind taste test of which of these teams you thought should be favored, you'd probably go with Arkansas. They played the tougher schedule to this point in time, still remained undefeated, and we saw Texas A&M have an embarrassing loss at home to App State a couple weeks ago. And even the win last week, while it looked good in terms of where the ranking of the Hurricanes were, I didn't think it was all that impressive a win offensively because you still have the same problems. The offensive line is the root of everything that ails Texas A&M right now. They don't pass block particularly well. It doesn't matter which quarterback, Haynes King or Max Johnson's in there. He's constantly under duress. I don't see receivers getting open, albeit you get Evan Stewart back this week, so that should hopefully help you. I don't think this offense, Paul, does a lot to help the receivers get open either. And you certainly haven't been able to run the ball as effectively as you should with a guy like Devon Achane. So I think everything that this game comes down to has to do with offensive line. You know, you look at Texas A&M and the ability for Arkansas to pass rush with Drew Sanders. They're the number one team in the conference when it comes to sacking the opposing quarterback. And ironically, it's the back half of that defense for Arkansas that's been the Achilles heel. They're last in all of college football when it comes to passing yards allowed. You don't typically see that with a team that's great at rushing the passer but not able to defend the pass better. So you're not getting Jalen Catalon back. I guess Miles Slusher did practice this week. It'll be interesting to see if he plays in this one. But the bottom line is which weakness for this team, these two teams, the passing game of Texas A&M, which has been less than explosive, versus the porous Arkansas secondary. So I'm going to go with Arkansas. I think that they have the better the matchup on the line of scrimmage there. But at the end of the day, you know, it's curious to me as Texas A&M is a couple point favorite in this one. I just don't see it making sense. So maybe Vegas knows a little something that we don't know.
Who knows with Vegas? Another game that you look at it and go, how did they end up being favored? But Auburn is favored over Missouri. I realize Missouri has not been great. Auburn was awful last week. What happens on the Plains?
Yeah, it is ironic, isn't it, that we're talking about a toss-up game, in our opinion, when you're looking at the tail of the tape. This may be the last best chance that Auburn has to get an SEC victory. I mean, if you look at the schedule, there's nobody left on the schedule that they're going to play within the conference that I think will they be favored over. And quite frankly, I don't think they'll win another game after this one. So you look at the matchup here, the quarterback position has just been not great. And there's the schedule to take a look at, as we talked about before. We know how difficult the West schedule will be. And then you throw in having to play Georgia as a cross-division opponent. It's not going to be easy. So this is the game that you got to get. You got to get better quarterback play than you've got. Robbie Ashford's going to have his opportunity to do that. And then the thing that I want to look at, Paul, is the Missouri defense, right? Last year they were terrible against the run. They looked to be better until they went to Manhattan, Kansas, and then the folks at K-State just absolutely sliced and diced them. The game plan for Auburn should be run the football, run the football, run the football. The two best players on your team are at the running back position with Tank Bigsby and Jarquez Hunter. They need far more touches than what they got last week against Penn State. I'm going to reluctantly go with Auburn to win the game, but I don't think it's going to be by much. I think it'll be a very, very competitive game. And for the sake of the Auburn fans, they better get one while they have an opportunity, because it ain't going to be many more after this within the SEC.
That was a vote of confidence there, man. Chris Doering joining us in studio, as he does every Friday while we're out on location. We are done with Chris. Thank you very much. Chris has to get ready for SEC Now right ahead. We are going to take a break here so we can get your phone calls in. 855-242-7285. Your phone calls the rest of the way on a Friday afternoon.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. A few minutes remaining, live from Arlington, Texas. We are between the football stadium and where the Rangers play at Globe Life Field. Rangers are playing the Guardians in a few minutes. I know you're all excited about that. Jeff is in Atlanta. Jeff, go right ahead.
Hey, Mr. Feinbaum, how are you doing this afternoon?
We are doing great, thank you.
Hey, sorry to ask a question that I'm sure you get 100 times a day at least. But I do have an interesting question for you, at least I think it's interesting. I want you to put yourself in Danny Sheridan's shoes for, 30 seconds. Does Brian Harsin make it through the weekend if Auburn loses?
I think he does. For this reason, Jeff, that you have to examine what do you gain from firing him, and the answer is really very little. I've always seen people fire coaches at a natural spot, meaning before a bye game, so you can give whoever the person is a chance to come in and have a little bit of time to stop the bleeding. Most people with a loss would acknowledge that it's just around the corner. They already do acknowledge that. But, I mean, you have, LSU next weekend. I'm trying to remember the schedule. And Georgia in a couple of weeks. So it's just
LSU, Georgia, then I think it's a bye.
Yeah, to me, if you're
right. It just gets worse.
Yeah, I think the natural place would be after the Georgia game when Georgia wins by 40 or 50 points. It would just seem more natural than so here's the schedule. LSU at Georgia and then at Ole Miss. I mean, if you can't beat Missouri, you're probably going to lose to LSU, Georgia. And I realize that's still another month away, but that would be my inclination, unless Harsin just said, you know what, I'll just give me a buyout, I'm out of here.
You don't think that, I'll be honest with you, I was listening to your program driving back from Florida this weekend, Monday afternoon, when the guy from AL.com, I forgot his name.
John Talty.
Came on. Yeah, when he came on and said that, Auburn should really consider looking at Lane Kiffin, that was the first spark of hope I've had in months for Auburn football.
Well, here's the thing, Jeff. There's no question Lane Kiffin is on their radar screen. And, I firmly believe contact indirectly is made with these people even now. The Lane Kiffin rumor's been out there. I was in Birmingham about a month ago and at an event, and that's the name I heard everywhere I went with a bunch of Auburn people. But you can't hire him right now, so you're really
right.
You're not helping yourself Yeah, I mean, it's a debate that really doesn't have a clear and concise answer. A loss would make this obvious, but since you can't do anything about it, what do you gain by just calling attention to yourself? I mean, really, what will happen with a loss here is Auburn just tends to be irrelevant. I mean, you know they're going to lose the next couple of games, and it really doesn't even matter. This is Brian Harsin's really last chance to have any hope, because you can win this game and then conjure up all the nonsensical things that we all do every week. Well, they won a game, and now maybe they beat LSU. A loss here, and it really, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
No, so, by the way, I just made your argument, but I guess ultimately I don't think they will make a change. Thanks for the call. Robbie is up next. Robbie,
you
bet. Good to hear from you. Robbie is in Birmingham.
Hey, Mr. Paul, doing all right?
Yes, sir. Thank you for the call.
Good. Yeah, my pleasure. Yeah, I want to give Steven, who called earlier, a shout-out real quick. He is the guy who's a lawyer, and his father went back at
63.
Yeah, my dad was a lawyer. My granddad was a lawyer. And I never forget my dad telling me when he graduated in 89 at Cumberland in Birmingham at Sanford. And he had a guy graduate at 69 years old and in his class. And so just I commend his father for going back at 53 and finishing. So it's never too late, you know, to do what you want to do in life. And that's what I've learned from Steven's dad, from the guy my dad mentioned. And so just wanted to give him a shout-out as well. But my question to you is, you know, I've been following Brian Kelly a lot. I played ball at UNA D2, so he was a D2 guy at Grand Valley. Watched him at many D2 natties in Florence, where I'm from, just dominate, really, in the 2000s. And with Kurt Ames winning the Harlan Hill a couple times at quarterback. But, I mean, I think he will do very well at LSU. I think he will change the narrative down there. I've always had great athletes. I think one thing that they've lacked is a little bit of discipline, maybe, since the Saban era. Down there, I just want to get your thoughts on that. I think he'll do phenomenal.
Hey, by the way, Robbie, who did you play for at UNA?
Well, 2 years for Mark Hudspeth.
Okay,
and then he went down at Lafayette, and
right.
Of course, Coach Napier actually seated him down there, and then great coach, by the way. But then, of course, Terry Bowden for 3 years.
Well, yeah, I was curious because UNA's had. I mean, Hudspeth was a highly regarded coach at the time. Bobby Wallace, mm-hmm. legendary, of course, as you know. That school has produced some amazing football teams.
Yes, absolutely. And we're D1 now. You know, we're officially D1. We went through the transition, 4 or 5 years of some pain, you know, and Coach Chris Willis, who's the coach now, has done a phenomenal job with that transition of keeping the players around. It's not easy, you know, to play knowing that you're not going to play in a playoff and,
no.
you know, or a ball game or getting any kind of ring, you know. So in D2, you know, we dominated. You know, we won the Gulf South when I was there with Coach Bowden's first year. We were always competing for natties. Of course, Wallace won 3 in a row in the 90s. You know, so, I mean, I commend Coach Willis. And it's actually homecoming week this weekend. So I'm in Florence as we speak. So I hope our Lions do big this weekend.
Well, listen, have a great time up there, and really appreciated your call, Robbie. Thank you very, very much.
Yes,
you got it.
Yes,
James
Thank
is
you.
In Arkansas. Hey, James. James, you there?
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Hey, first-time caller. I'm from Arkansas, but I'm a huge LSU fan. So I'm sure you're okay with this. So I just want to say congratulations to Kayshawn Booty and his little boy he had. I think it was yesterday. And then I've got like a compact question for you.
Sure, go right ahead.
All right. So I really feel like Coach Kelly down there is doing a good job of, you know, kind of righting the ship. And I'm really impressed by the O-line with, you know, the true freshmen. They're really showing a lot of growth. And with Jaden Daniels and especially the defense. I'm just curious on what you feel about, you know, how do you feel about how they're going to capitalize in the future and about surprising some things this year? What do you think?
Well, I think Brian Kelly is going to turn that place around, and I think you're seeing some signs of it already. That was a very significant win last week for the most obvious reason. But you know, he needs a little bit of time. I don't think it will take a lot of time, because I think LSU is one of those places that has such a strong built-in infrastructure that you can change and turn the narrative very, very quickly. Dave is in Missouri. Dave, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Okay. Me and Peggy just wanted to commend you on a great interview you had with Sam Pittman yesterday. We love him, as you know, and he's really great. And I predict they'll win tomorrow. And also, if me and Peggy really want to meet you, and that's why I asked you the other day if you're going to be in Fayetteville, and you don't know, and I understand that. But are you ever in the Springfield area or the Table Rock Lake area?
Well, Dave, of course, we were in Fayetteville 3 weeks ago, and we may be in Missouri upcoming in Columbia, which I know is not exactly near Springfield, but there is probably a higher probability we'll be in Columbia than anywhere else. But I have not been in Springfield in a long time. In fact, I may have told you this, but one of my best friends in the newspaper business many, many years ago was from Springfield, so I'm pretty familiar with the area. I've been there once.
Oh, great. Well, I thought if you ever were around here, we'd turn you on to Springfield-style cashew chicken.
Well, I will take you up on that. Thank you very much, Dave. You take care of yourself. We're out of time. We've had quite an afternoon here in Arlington, right outside of Jerry's World. We're done. We hope you enjoyed the afternoon. We will see you early tomorrow morning on SEC Nation. Stick around for SEC Now, straight ahead.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.